ahead.
Okay, 90% of the church, what they do is they read the word when they have their quiet time, then they close the Bibles, and then they go off, and the word does not become truth in their lives. We know what the word says, but we don't walk the word. And that's what God wants us to do, is begin to take the word and walk it, and begin to use it. And when we begin to use it, we like realize, wow, this thing works. But you know what? That's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to be deceived in knowing the word, but not putting the word to work for us. And we know it. As Christians, we know what to do. We know how not to sin, how to not do the big things and sin. But you know what? The Bible says the little foxes come and spoil the vine. It's not the big foxes. It's not the big things that when we know what to sin. But it's the little things and the issues of our hearts. And that's where we don't allow God to come, and we kind of like overlook it. We don't quickly allow the Holy Spirit to bring the conviction. You bring the conviction, but then you just kind of like push it under the cup and say, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. And that's when we start getting our hearts get, you know, over and over and over. We get assaulted by the enemy. And then by the time we finish, we walk in offense. And then we can't get to the place that we don't hear God's voice anymore. And then we wonder what happened. It's because we don't take short accounts of our sin. All of us sin. All of us think sin. We speak it. But what is the action is, the weapon is, when the Holy Spirit shows it to us quickly to get right with God. Not wait for your quiet time. Not allow that sin to kind of muster up inside of you, and not allow the enemy to use it as a weapon. And that's what Satan loves to do. He loves to bring division in marriages. He loves to bring spiritual warfare in our minds. And lots of times we don't recognize it. If we don't recognize it, then we're not going to know. So the first one is, what is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is learning to recognize the strategies and plans of the evil one. So how do you recognize it? When Satan attacks us, he will attack us the first time, he'll attack us another time, he'll attack us the third time, the fourth time. He'll attack us the same way every time he attacks us. But we don't recognize it. And so once we begin to recognize it, then we kind of like, oh, okay, this is what he did. Because we think Satan is stupid. He is not stupid. He's very wise. He knows how to attack us. He wouldn't attack us when we all prayed up and that. He'll attack us when we down and out, and he'll wait. He's got a lot of patience. But anyway, that's in the bottom there. So what we need to do is, first of all, recognize when his attack comes. If we recognize it, we can stand against it. We do not fight the devil. God has not called us to fight the devil. God has called us to stand against the lies of the wicked one. Okay? And recognize, the next one is, refuse to compromise with Satan's plans. How do you refuse to compromise with Satan's plans? Stuff that you are doing, stuff that you normally think it's normal, or stuff that not, books that you read, programs that you watch, movies that you open yourself with, the internet, if stuff comes up on the internet and lots of people, they get pulled into pornography, and you know it's not right, but you just kind of find yourself over there. And so we have to refuse to compromise and know, recognize, hey, you know what? If somebody has a problem with something, Satan is going to bring it in front of them. He'll leave you for a while. You'll repent and that kind of stuff. And one day, it'll just come. It'll come up. And so we have a choice. We have a choice to choose to go there, or we have a choice not to go there. It's kind of like gossip. Okay? Someone will call you and you'll say, hey, hello, how are you? Hey, somebody sick, you know? Did you hear? Did you hear what happened to them? And you start gossiping. Oh, no, I'm just telling you because I want you to pray for the person. Meanwhile, you was just waiting to gossip about that person. This person did just this, this, this. Because, and I call it charismatic gossip. You know, when somebody is sick and somebody calls you and says, please pray for me, you know what? Don't call someone else and tell someone else to pray. Go into your closet and go and pray for the person. Don't go and make it a huge gossip because it breaks God's heart. And we think we want to be very spiritual and we want to do that, but we actually gossiping. And we're not doing anything more for the person. We actually bring the person deeper in whatever they are. You know, so we need to recognize what, if we have a problem with gossip, don't pick up the phone and don't sit on the phone, because the longer you're on the phone, you've got nothing to talk about and you start gossiping. Resist the plans of the enemy. And how you resist the plans of the enemy? By saying no, of recognizing it, refusing it, and so, and you say, you resist Satan's works. James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is something that we, every day, you know, we are in a war as Christians. We are in a war and we don't recognize it. And whether we like it or not, you can take part in the war, or you can say, no, I'm not going to take part in the war. And you can stay out of the war, but you're going to be bombarded by Satan and his demons. So whether you like it or not, and if you're a Christian, we are called in God's army, and we're going to be in that warfare, whether we like it or not. And Satan will bombard us in the things of our past, in our future, in the present. And if we don't recognize our past, I mean, when we come to the Lord, God forgives us for our sins. And he said, I remember your sin no more. But guess what Satan does? He takes us fishing. Okay, when you are feeling down and you're feeling like you want to have a pity party with you and you open yourself to the enemy, he takes you back to your past. And he'll remind you of all the negative stuff that you did in the past. And quickly recognize lots of the times when we're having a pity party and we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we don't want to pray. We want to just go into our beds and pull the covers over and start crying and just making, you know. And that's when we have to begin to recognize, okay, Satan is attacking me over here. I just need to stand up and I just need to tell him where to get off. And that's where we recognize. Okay, so it's easy to allow him to come into our minds and bring all those past sins, because God says, I remember your sins no more. And so what we have to recognize is conviction and condemnation. Okay, conviction is what everybody knows. What's conviction? Conviction is when the Holy Spirit comes and he shows us what our sin is, and he's so quick, fast, and so gently he does it. And if we just ask him for forgiveness, it's done. It's done. We don't have to stay there. But condemnation is when the devil brings condemnation to you and you're not sure what it is. You have this feeling inside of you and it's like yucky, but you're not sure what it is. I'm feeling like really condemned. And then you have to know, okay, the enemy is doing this severe. And you have to stop allowing yourself to being condemned. Because that's what Satan wants. So condemnation and conviction is very close, but you have to be able to identify. And if you can identify with it, then you can kick off condemnation and walk in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we grow with God. That's where we kind of begin to hear God's voice. That's where we don't allow the enemy to condemn us all the time especially if we come from a past of kind of like, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that, you know, in our religious ideas and that kind of stuff, that can kind of jump onto us, and we can begin to live that life as, you know, the enemy will make us think that we being good and, you know, we are doing whatever God wants us, but we get into religion. And so don't allow our hearts to condemn us. I mean, you know, it's three voices that you hear. You hear your voice, you hear the voice of God, and you hear the voice of the devil. And sometimes, and the Bible says, our hearts condemn us. And so you need to recognize when your heart condemns you. You need to recognize when Satan comes and he says, hey, you remember yesterday what happened? Especially your husband and wife. You know, the devil will come and he'll, you know, husband and wives have bickering, they have arguments, they have, you know, even at work, if you're single, you know, somebody would come and say something negative to you, okay? And, okay, you're just kind of like, oh, that's, you know, you kind of throw it under the carpet, you don't deal with it, you kind of say, oh, it's okay, you know, and then the next day, you'll be driving to work, and the enemy will come and say, do you remember what she said? Or you remember what he said? You know, and then what you can do, what are you going to do with it? You know? And so, the thing is that when we deal with our sin, and we deal with unforgiveness, let's go down again. Okay, before I deal with the unforgiveness, let's go. I'll go. Spiritual warfare is standing against devil's schemes. Okay, we're going to talk about unforgiveness just now. It's standing, what it says of here, standing against the devil's scheme. So we have to recognize this, that we don't fight the devil. Lots of the times, people think spiritual warfare is standing and fighting the devil. We don't need to fight the devil because Jesus fought the devil and he won the victory 2,000 years ago. We walk in victory. The enemy will come and he'll try to attack us, but if we have our hearts right, we can always walk in victory because what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Okay, and Jesus allows Satan to come and test us, and he allows us to walk in this battle, but the battle is his. If the issues of our hearts, we can deal and recognize, and we can refuse, and the battle of our hearts is won. Okay, our battles are won. If it's just the attitude of our hearts. At the end of the day, it's the attitude of our hearts. You're going to recognize that in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is standing against devil's schemes, against the authorities, powers, rulers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The battle is in the spirit realm. Ephesians 6:12. Can somebody open up Ephesians 6:12? Our weapons are not physical, it is spiritual. When we say our weapons are not physical, it's spiritual, what does that mean? Anybody? Right. Yeah. So, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. First of all, look at here. The Bible says, we do not wrestle. So, if you have a highlighter, you're going to highlight this. Begin to highlight your scripture so when you're having a quiet time, it can be like you open your Bible and it can be like it'll hit you like, oh, this is what God spoke to me, you know, and this and begin, and don't be fearful, write in your Bible. If the Holy Spirit shows you something, write it in your Bible, because don't take it and write it in a little piece of paper, because that little piece of paper is going to go home, it's going to be thrown away. But if something like just lights in your heart, write it a little bit, a small thing in your Bible, this is what God told me. So you can, when you open that, then you remember, you know. So the Bible says, the word says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Okay, we are flesh and blood. Okay, we cannot pray against each other. Never, ever. No matter how bad the person is, no matter what the person did to you, no matter if he's a child molester, if he's a rapist, is the baddest worst person on earth, we cannot pray against a person because God has made us, we are made in God's image, and so we cannot pray against somebody. We can pray against the spirit that is driving that person to do what he is doing is wrong, but we can't pray against flesh and blood. Because the Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So when you look at a person, you don't look at the person and you don't rebuke the person, you don't pray against that person, but you ask God, what spirit am I dealing with that I can stand against that spirit that is driving that person to do what he is doing? So we need to look at it in the spiritual realm and not in the natural realm. Lots of the times we look at it in the natural realm and we think, oh, this person is that. And if it's kind of like if you begin to look at a person and you have an attitude towards a person and your heart closes up towards a person, it's very hard for you to pray for them because your heart closes up. And when we pray, when God looks at us, when we pray and our prayers go up, God's not looking at our faces. We're God's looking straight in our hearts, isn't that so? And if we have an issue with someone in our hearts and we're praying for the person, you think our prayers are going to go up to the Lord? No. Our prayers are just going to, it's going to just, because it's the issue of our hearts. Because when we pray, like, I'll give you an example. President Obama, okay? And I'll give you an example of me. So, you know, the Bible says we need to pray for our leaders and we need to pray for our authority in that. And so there's lots of times that, you know, you think, oh, you know, you open yourselves and you kind of hear, you know, JR loves to listen to talk radio. So one day I was sitting in a car and he left the talk radio on and he went into a store. So I was sitting over there and the guy on the radio, he was just like bombarding President Obama, you know, just speaking all negative stuff about him. And I was just kind of feeling like the thing was like just really getting on to me, getting in my heart. And the Lord spoke to me, like the Holy Spirit said to me, put the radio off, stop listening to that stuff because you're not going to be able to pray for the president. We all are called to intercede, we all are called to pray for our authority. And I just realized that my heart, because I was listening to what the guy was saying, my heart was getting hardened. And if I pray, if I stand in the gap and I pray for him, God's not going to be able to hear my prayer. And I had to quickly put the thing off and just really repent and say, Lord, forgive me. And that's why we have to, we have to recognize this. I'll tell you something. It's kind of like, if I come to you and I tell you, someone say something negative to you about someone here in church. Okay. I say, you know, and that person probably offended me. Okay, I'll come to you and I'll tell you, oh, this person did this to me and I want mercy from you. Okay. But you know what's going to happen to you the next week when you come to church? The first thing, you're going to look at that person and you're going to remember what I said, and offense is going to rise up in your heart towards that person that I told you about, and that person didn't do anything to you, but suddenly you're offended because of, I use your ears as my garbage dump. So don't allow anyone to use your ears as a garbage dump. Stop them immediately and say, I don't want to hear anything, please. Allow the Holy Spirit to really, really come and bring conviction over you. We need to begin to walk in the fear of the Lord and not in our flesh. We need to recognize spiritual warfare. All that stuff is spiritual warfare, and it hinders us from walking in the Spirit of God. We wonder, why can't I hear God's voice? It's because we're allowing all that garbage to get into our spirit man, and we don't have a clear place of what God said. Because if I came and said that to you and you were spiritually alert, you would have just said, hey, you know what, please don't say that about that person, you know, you need to pray for the person or whatever, but you know, don't allow, I don't want to hear any negative stuff. And you have to turn around and love the person enough, you know, to say, you know what, let's not do that. And so, and all of us are accountable to God for the things that we do, because sometimes it's kind of like we think we're helping people, but we're allowing our brothers and sisters to stumble. Okay, so it's something that is very, very important that we need to recognize. Okay, where are we? So, our weapons are not physical, it's spiritual. For the weapons of our warfare, we just said, for the weapons are not physical, but of the flesh and blood. But they are mighty before God for the throwing down and destruction of strongholds. As much as we refute arguments. Okay, this is another scripture. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians.
You want to pull up the scripture?
Yeah, just go up. Just want to see.
Oh, okay.
Up. Okay, let's go back to the Ephesians 6.
6:12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Since we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, that's what we spoke about, isn't that so? But against principalities. What's a principality? Does anybody know what's a principality?
Territory.
A principality is something that is like a demonic realm. It's kind of like a thing that will, it's a principality that lives above spiritual atmospheres, principality. Wayne, can you just bring up the dictionary over there and put principality?
Or any dictionary.
Principality. Prince is somebody that rules. Prince, isn't that so? If you call him a prince, he rules, isn't that so? Principality is someone that rules. The principality is a prince that rules and dominates. Okay? It's a principality. It dominates. So, the word prince is like a king or a prince that rules, but a principality is a demonic demonstration that will come and will dominate an area, a principality.
A state ruled by a prince.
Right. So, you know, like if you say, okay, a prince owns something, isn't that so? So if it's a principality, it is a demonic demonstration, a principality that owns a spiritual atmosphere, a principality. Okay? So it is demonic. It takes residence of the principality of the spiritual atmosphere of where you live, where you work. It's a demonstration. Okay, that's a principality. Let's go back to principality against powers, against the rulers of darkness. We need to recognize who we're dealing with over here. We think Satan is this little devil that, you know, we are dealing with someone that strategically works in our lives, that he knows where we are, he knows our address, he knows our area code, and he knows how to come and attack us. Okay, we don't have to be fearful of the devil, but when we do open our lives to the assignments of the enemy, he'll come and he will attack us. Against the rulers of darkness of this age, so he rules the darkness, he rules the spiritual atmosphere, okay, of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so, what we're dealing with over here is this, you know, lots of the times there's territories, you know, there's in different territories in our areas that we live, we have different principalities, different spiritual activities that's happening. And so if we don't know what we're dealing with, that means that we're living under that spirit instead of living above that spirit. So when you go into prayer, ask God, Lord, what spirit am I dealing with in the area that I am living? And God will begin to show you. Then when if you feel like that spirit keeps on attacking you and you keep on getting under that spirit, then you begin to live above it. We need to live above that those spirits and recognize this thing is, if you're struggling with depression, you're suffering with oppression, you're suffering with if you have continuous thoughts of suicide, if you're a gambler once and you keep on thinking about that, or if it's alcoholism, if anything, even in your past, but why we don't recognize it is because God sets us free from stuff, but if it's in the spiritual atmosphere, it will keep on coming up. If it's fear or whatever, and if that is in your area, you just need to identify with it, and when it does come, you say, no. It wouldn't come like all the time. It will come only when you are feeling and your guard is down. You'll kind of feel like, oh, all that stuff is coming out of why? And so you need to recognize it's kind of like in South Africa, there's a spirit of fear. There's a spirit of, like, because of the violence, you know, and if you go there and it's this kind of, and it's huge, it's, you know, lots of unrest. So when we used to get kids coming over as on a mission trip, suddenly these kids will kind of, if they have fear, you know, and they're kind of, the stuff will come up and they're like, I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know, you know, why am I feeling like this, you know? And then we have to kind of say, hey, you know what? This is what the spiritual atmosphere is. So all this, when God sends me to a nation, the first thing I'll begin to pray and say, God, show me what the spiritual atmosphere is. Because when we know what the spiritual atmosphere is, we know what we're dealing with, and we know, because you know what, lots of times is when we want to deal with stuff, even in our lives, we don't go to the branches, we go to the root. Any time you want to deal with stuff, go down to the root. And that's where when you go down to the root, we can root it out. So we don't go to the branches and say, oh, you know, what's the problem with the top? So even in our lives, if there is issues in our lives, in our hearts, and that kind of stuff that we're not dealt with, we need to go down into the roots and say, Father, show me my heart, show me the roots of what I've not dealt with, that I can begin to deal with that stuff. And then, you know, because we don't get it from the branches, it's in the roots that you sever it and you come against it and you're washed by the blood. Okay, and the thing is that, yeah, Jesus forgives us, but you know what? Because sometimes when we stay for a long, long time, we just allow it to become normal. And you know what? We're not supposed to live in a place of normality, in a normal place. We need to begin to live in a spiritual place where God will keep on showing us what to do, how to do it, and bringing conviction to us and blessing us. And, you know, having our eyes and our spirit open to the new things in the spirit realm. Let's go. Any questions? Please stop me if you have any questions. But are you guys understanding?
I'm still not really clear what a principality is.
A principality is a prince. You know a prince?
Yeah.
He takes ownership, he owns.
Okay.
Right. So a principality is something that it's called a principality. It's demonic. It's a principality that comes, it takes hold of someone. It's like if it's like some sort of sin.
So is it like a demonic being?
It's it takes hold of, it's kind of like a queen. Can you have the mic? Do you have another one? Just, do you have a, is this a?
You can go Merriam-Webster.
Yeah. It gave a really good.
If I could help here, it's a government. It's an area that's ruled by a prince, and it's not necessarily an evil prince, but in the context,
Principality, is it the area that's being ruled, or is it the one that's ruled? ruling.
The one that's ruling.
The one that's ruling. It's not the area that's
no.
ruling. Okay, the one that's ruling.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Prince owns a place.
Yeah.
So the principality is the one that comes and takes residence.
Over
a certain area, and you're dealing with a different spirit of a principality. It could be a different principality, can be a different spirit. Okay?
Okay.
So,
over different
people. Yeah, over different areas, different people. Yeah, it's a principality that
country.
would kind of come and take hold of you, and you know, and so that's a principality that comes in and takes residence. Is that
yeah?
Right?
It says the state office or authority. It's the government. It's the government that rules over a territory. It's the ruling authority.
Okay.
And I think we're talking about
so
the Prince of Darkness,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're talking about Prince of Darkness.
That it's ruling.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I want to make sure about.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what happens in the spiritual realm,
okay.
In the spiritual realm, in, you know, and that's talking about Satan and his demons, and he comes and takes. Thanks, Will. Okay. 2 Corinthians 10:4, it speaks about, this was ours. Yes. I just
want to
do
mine. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds.
Can you read that again, louder?
The weapons we fight with. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Okay. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, what is our weapons as Christians? What's that?
The word.
Anything else?
Salvation.
But
righteousness.
The blood of Jesus.
You're talking about like when you're standing against the wiles of the wicked one.
Mm-hmm.
We use the blood of Jesus. We use the word, the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus. Because we stand against the lies of the evil one. So all those are the weapons that we use. We don't use the weapons that is physical weapons, but we use the word, okay? And that's why it's so important for us to know the word. Is when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against you, which the Lord will drive out. And so if we don't know the word, then it's going to be like, okay, what do I do? What scripture do I use? You know? And what you have to remember is that when you pray, you can pray a million words of your words. But if you take the word and you say, Father, this is what your word says, God's word never comes back void, but it goes to accomplish what He's spoken. So He has to answer His word. He doesn't have to answer all the prayers that you pray, just like rumbling over and over the same thing. But if you keep the word and you say, Father, so that's what is always good. If you're dealing with stuff, go and look for a scripture and stand on it. And you say, Father, this is what your word says. And let that word go deep down in your heart and begin to take, you know, if you're struggling with stuff, you're struggling with, take cue cards, write down scriptures and put it in your Bible, keep it in your purse, put it wherever, and keep on looking at it. And every time you're being attacked, take the word and say, Father, this is what your word says. I believe your word. And let the word begin to sink in your spirit, man. Don't just say, oh yeah, you know, but begin to learn the word. And that's what you begin to do that, and the word becomes alive inside of you, and you begin to believe it. Because lots of times as we read the word, but we don't believe it because we don't walk in it. And that's what God wants to do in spiritual warfare. The devil, he is fine with us having church, with us having Bible studies, but as soon as we get strong in the Word, that's when he starts getting nervous. It's because the Word becomes alive to us, and he knows now he can't attack us. Because the Word begins to get into our spirit man. Because we live and move and have our beings in the Word. And so he attacked, but you know what? We have our weapons. Because our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in pulling down strongholds. And so we can pull down the strongholds of the evil one and his lies, and we can tell him where to get off. Okay, because we can recognize, and then we can resist his works. Okay, thank you, Ren. And why I have theories and reasonings of here is, and the same scripture is, lots of the times the enemy will come to you and he'll want you to reason. He'll want you to kind of try. If you have a reasoning mind and God says something to you, he'll keep you thinking, oh, maybe it's not. And that's why it's so important to not reason all the time, but just begin to walk in the truth. This is right and this is wrong, and walk in the truth. Don't begin to walk in your reasoning in your mind. Oh, this is how I used to do it. Oh, maybe it's okay. No, you know what? Don't reason. Stop your reasoning and begin to say, okay, Father, this is your truth, and I'm going to do what you said in your word. God has called us to fight not called us to fight the enemy, because the victory of... Okay, we did that.
Okay.
For though we... Did we do that scripture? We did that scripture, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Satan is the father of lies, but God has given us the weapons to stand against Satan's lies and his evil forces. John 8:44. Identify the things that the enemy lies to you. Stuff that you walk every day with and he lies to you. And we actually believe. And we have to, that's when we have to recognize, okay? If you can recognize it, then we can change it. But if we don't recognize it, don't kind of like, it doesn't. It's not highlighted in our lives, then it's kind of like, it's going to, he'll attack you in the same way every day, every time, and we'll just be defeated. So those lies that he speaks to you about yourself, about your husband, about your friend, about your children, those lies, you begin to change it into truth. And how you walk in that is taking the word and beginning to pray. When those lies come up, you are the person that Satan has lied and deceived you with for such a long time, that has kept your heart hardened, that has kept your heart weighed down. Begin to pray for the person. When you begin to pray for the person, God will begin to heal your heart. God will... Praying is actually protecting yourself from being bombarded by his assaults. Okay, I'm gonna speak about it anyway, because I think let's go down. Okay. Satan works strategically in the minds and hearts of God's people. Okay, we spoke about, you know what spiritual warfare of the mind is? Is when Satan comes and takes control of your mind. An empty mind is the devil's workshop. Okay, if your mind is empty and you not allowing God's word to kind of, you know, and you know what? I am not saying that we need to pray 24/7. I'm not saying we have to think about 24/7, God 24/7. But yeah, we have to be in His presence and know that He's there 24/7. But you don't have to be, for to be spiritually alert, you don't have to be praying 24/7. You understand what I'm saying? Don't allow the enemy to try and make you feel guilty that you're not praying, but you have to be spiritually alert 24/7 as being kind of knowing, okay, this is where I am, this is how I'm going to get attacked, and knowing even before the attack comes. You know what? It's amazing because God will even show you before you get attacked. Many times I know God will tell me, you know what, you're going to get attacked. Be careful. And so when you know when you're going to get attacked, you can't guard yourself from getting attacked. You know, like you're driving down the road and you think, oh my word, you know what, I'm going to meet an accident. You slow down. Isn't that so? You're not going to go like 100 miles an hour. So it's kind of the Holy Spirit. If you have your spirit man open to what God wants, he'll alert you what's going to happen in the next hour, the next day or whatever. He'll just alert you that you can be prayed up and you can kind of stand against the lies of the evil one. Okay, so, because Satan does not have power until you give him power. Okay? Satan does not have power over us until we give him power. And how we give him power? How do we give Satan power over us?
We believe his lies.
We believe his lies. We open ourselves to sin. And then we kind of like, then he'll come and attack. Okay, but if you close yourself, then he cannot get in. So he does not, we don't have to fear Satan if we don't open ourselves to him. And he has no power and authority over us. Jesus Christ has all power and authority. So that's what we need to learn on spiritual warfare. Okay. Satan works strategically in minds and hearts of God's people. His schemes is to manipulate, dominate, and intimidate the body of Christ. To manipulate you, to dominate you, and intimidate you. And he can intimidate you by stuff that has been done, that's past done, that you already asked God for forgiveness. He can manipulate you by stuff that the lies that he's been, like, over and over, that he's been lying to you all the time. And so it's something that you have to recognize. Satan identifies the weaknesses of our past, present, and waits. He has an amazing amount of patience. When we are most vulnerable, he'll attack. So when we put the armor on, can Satan still attack us? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, he will. He will try and still attack us. If we have our armor on, it doesn't mean that Satan's not going to attack us. He will attack, still try to attack us. And it says, therefore, take up your whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil days, having done all to stand. So there are certain days you'll be praying in the morning, you'll be prayed up in the morning, you put your armor on, you go to work, and you'll be bombarded by the evil one. And you're like, what happened? I prayed this morning, what happened? But you know what? He will still attack you. Chinks in your armor. If you have chinks in your armor, if you have your armor on, you have chinks in your armor, there are holes in your armor, if you have pride, unforgiveness, offense, bitterness, anger, jealousy, hatred, contention, selfishness, envy, and whatever you think about that the Holy Spirit will show you, we have chinks. If we have chinks in our armor, holes in our armor, the enemy will come and attack us in those areas. So we have to close those areas up, identify with it, close those areas, say, God, forgive me, repent, and do not go back to our sin. Repent and turn away from our sin. You know, as Christians, we must know how to repent and turn away from our sins every single day. You know, I got a testimony over there. Guard your heart and mind from Satan's lies. One day we were driving to church, and how, you know, isn't it amazing is when you go to church and when you're coming back home, how amazing it is with husband and wife and they have children, how automatically you can start having an argument over something really stupid. You know why? It's because Satan knows that you're going to church to deceive, isn't that so? And so, that day we were in LA and the traffic was so bad and so angrily driving, and I don't know what argument Jay and I had. I think my heart got really hard. So I'm walking to church now and I'm going to worship and I cannot enter into worship. Just couldn't enter. And the Holy Spirit says to me, he's defeated. He's defeated 2,000 years ago. Jesus won the victory. And I'm like, yeah. You know, and God just gave me such immediate, you know, just revelation. I mean, I know that. But in that moment, I'm not going to think about that. And when God said that to me, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to allow him to steal my time with the Lord, because that's what the enemy does. He was trying to come and harden my heart that I wouldn't receive it, I wouldn't step into worship. Because nobody knows next to me that my heart is hardened. Nobody, I mean, I'll be like, you know, always, even when husband and wife come into church, come into place, they'll have, Gavin had a huge argument in the car, and they'll come and say, hi, everything is fine, you know? And so, I mean, I don't mean like, yeah, you're going to say, yeah, we had an argument, but you know how it is. But our hearts are hidden, and our hearts are kind of hardened. Poor God didn't do anything to us, and our hearts get hardened towards God. And that's the weapon of the enemy that he wants to use, and we don't even identify with that. Isn't that amazing? And so we need to recognize and identify, you know what? And I just turned around and I gave JR such a big hug and I kissed him like, Satan, get out of here. You know, and so we all need to recognize, even when we get after an amazing word, you know, so after the service or whatever, get into the car and you watch and see how, you know, you just say something or whatever, how you just explode. You're like, oh my word, we came out of a really good service, you know. And this is something that we have to recognize. It's kind of like, if we identify with it, then we're like, you know what, Satan is just attacking us. We need to direct. And God taught Jaya and I this year, like when we were in the mission field, you know, lots of the times we would recognize before we even would get into argument, we'll say, you know what, Satan is attacking. And we don't look at each other as the devil, because actually that's what the devil wants. He wants us to look at each other as the enemy. And so we can harden our hearts. And, you know, we kind of recognize, no, he's not the enemy. Satan is just standing there. If we can look in the spiritual world, we see demons in our homes all the time. Do you know that? If you can look into the spiritual world, if you can look in the world of the spiritual realm, how we look at everything like this year, you would be able to see demons standing. If you start arguing the next time, just think about a demon coming over there and saying, ah, and just pressing on you and saying, yeah, continue. That's how it is in the spirit realm. Because when you feel like you're just being driven to do something, that's what happens. And we, because we can't see, if we see it in the natural, we'll really put a zip on that, isn't that so? But because we can't see it in the natural, we see it's in the spiritual, and we want to go. We was like, continue to just go and just recognize. We need to recognize. Okay, I'm giving you all the bad things about JR and I, but you know what? Because you gotta learn. When we first started spiritual, when first God taught, started teaching me spiritual warfare, And so we were in the restaurant in Mauna Kea Marketplace. We were married for 8 months, and we didn't know each other. We knew each other for 3 months. We got married, and we 8 months we were married. August, actually not 8 months. August we got married. September, October, November, December, January, February. 6 months. We opened up a restaurant together, and I said to God, "I don't want to open up a restaurant with him." And God said, "You are going to open up a restaurant with him." But God really wanted us to open this restaurant to get it out of our systems, because both of us wanted to open up a restaurant. God wanted to take us to the mission field. So he just wanted to give it to us and say, "Okay, this is it." So anyway, we are in this restaurant now, and I tell you, it was the biggest spiritual war ever. And so, I mean, in the natural, you know what? If JR and I did not know God, I think today we wouldn't have been together. Because it was God's grace that kept us together. I mean, I would, 5 o'clock in the morning, okay, this is how, and God taught me spiritual warfare, like, from those days. And I would come, I'd be showering, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and suddenly I'll get the thought of, he did something to me yesterday. I would come out of the shower, and I would just explode on him. And we would just have this huge, huge argument. And so, I mean, I don't know that, you know, what's going on. So, be angry that I'll go to the restaurant, and I'll be cooking, and I'll think about something else. There's another, and I will, and we just start fighting in the restaurant. One day, God opened my eyes to the spiritual realm, and I looked out there in the restaurant. This huge demon was standing over there, and I'm like, "Oh my word! This is what I'm dealing with." And God began to show me what I was dealing with. I wasn't dealing with flesh and blood. I was dealing with, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. And I was dealing with a spiritual demonic thing, but I was looking at all the issues, and I was kind of like, we were being just caught. And so after that, I would get up in the morning and I would begin to pray in the spirit. And I started beginning to just pray in the spirit. I mean, like, I would get in the restaurant, I would just begin to pray in the spirit. I mean, God started teaching me spiritual warfare. And you know, if God didn't show me, and if he didn't allow me to identify with that, and that was kind of like it was our training to take us into the mission field, you know. And so all of us have to come to a place first to recognize what Satan is doing, and then we can begin to identify, and then we can walk in victory. I mean, now we just know when Satan's attacking us, you know. We'll say, "Hey, you know what? Satan's attacking us. Let's pray." You know, we wouldn't start arguing. We would recognize. And that's what God taught us when we were on the mission field. Because when you're on the mission field, you are talking about under war. You are like continuously under war. You know, though in the spiritual, but in the physical, it's just kind of like war. And if you are not ready, you know what? You would come back home. The enemy, you will open yourself to the enemy, and because you see lots of missionaries not coming back before even they finish, because the spiritual warfare is so huge, because they were not ready to go into the spiritual, into the mission field. And so that was something that God really taught us, and you know, and we're very, very thankful. And I think that every husband and wife should recognize that. You know, I just feel like I should share this with y'all. I don't share this with everybody, but I had a vision in 2007. God took me into hell. While I was praying, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't having a dream. While I was praying, God took me into a vision, into hell. And he walked me into different parts of hell, showed me hell that. But what I want to share with you is the last part that God took me into was we walked into out of this place, and we were in. We were out of hell, and we walked through these glass doors. And I was walking with Jesus, and we came to this huge restaurant. And in that huge restaurant, there was two people that were sitting at the table, and you know they were just like dining. And this husband, I mean, I don't know if it's a husband or wife, but just a couple. And they were laughing and they were talking, like, and I said, but behind them was this huge demon. Now they couldn't see it. And I'm standing, that's it. I can see this huge demon looking over there. Oh my word. And suddenly they began to have an argument. And then they started fighting. Eventually they got up and they started hitting each other. And this demon was kind of like just like pushing them and shoving them on and all that. Oh my word. So it was something that, you know, we do not see. What we don't see, we don't recognize that it is so real. And it's so we need to recognize that even in our households, where we're working, whatever happens in situations, that there's always demonic activities that are kind of like dominating and pushing. You know, you say, oh, you're pushing my buttons, you're pushing the wrong buttons. No, it's not about that person pushing the wrong buttons. So, oh yeah, I want to talk about buttons. Okay, how often you feel like people push your wrong buttons? Many times, isn't that so? You feel like, oh, that person is like pushing my buttons, and they're pushing the wrong buttons, and they're bringing out stuff that, you know, that shouldn't come out, because I'm not like that. Okay, let me tell you about those buttons. Those buttons are not about that person. Those buttons is about you. Those, when I come and push Alan's buttons, and she kind of gets angry or gets frustrated or be like, oh, you know, it's not about me. It's about her. Alan just doesn't like what is in her, she sees in me. What's inside of you, you see it in me, and you don't like because it's inside of you. So when you say someone's pushing your buttons, it's not about that person. It's just something that was in you that you don't like, that you're seeing it in somebody else. So don't add something to... Okay, giving an example. Okay, let's see. Say... okay, say, you be nice.
you can use me.
I mean, actually, it's kind of like, lots of the times, you know, they will be, it's also husband and wife, when they have arguments, you know, because they're so familiar with each other, and they would kind of like, have issues that will keep on coming up, that, and I can use husband and wife is because, you know, there's you're very familiar with them, and so it's always because you love each other, you will hurt that person more than you can hurt somebody else. And so it's, you know, like, say if a man has anger, you know, and the wife kind of starts saying stuff to him, you know, and she's probably with the anger issue. The thing is that she's got anger in her too because of his anger, because of what they were beating each other up for so many years, and so they don't recognize that anger. And so when she goes and says something to him, he goes and says, "Don't you push my buttons," and because of that anger inside of her, what he's been doing to her all this time, is he can't recognize it. It's like a mirror. And so, and people live with it for all their lives. They don't deal with it. Even Christians or no Christians, you know, they deal with it. They finish up sometimes in divorce, but sometimes couples just don't deal with their anger issues. They don't deal with the bitterness. They just kind of like put a carpet over and let's go to sleep and let's get up tomorrow and let's not deal with it. And what about the word says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And so what happens is if you don't take that word and you don't do that, you don't ask each other for forgiveness, it becomes over your heart, over and over and over until one day it explodes. Because we don't take the word and we do not let the word work for us. Because if you go to sleep angry, you're going to get up in the morning angry. And the whole day you're going to think about what happened. But if you go to bed and you say, please forgive me, it's going to be like, done. And if you pray together. And that's why husband and wife should pray together every single day. If y'all don't pray together every single night, begin to pray. There was one weapon that God gave JR and I on the mission field was the biggest weapon of our lives is praying together. So we cannot go to bed angry with each other. Even if we do, we are angry with each other. We'll lie in bed over there and you'll say, you pray. And I'm like, you pray. And you know, we have to get our hearts right. You know, and it's before God, because it's so easy to go to bed, isn't that so? To go to bed earlier and just say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that. You know, but at the end of the day, it's not between you and your husband or you and your wife. At the end of the day, it's between you and God. Isn't that so? And if you allow God to come into your life in that manner and change your heart and change your life, I tell you, God will. You know how we desire spiritual stuff, we desire to get higher, we desire to get into a new level. I mean, you will get into the next level of what God has for you. It's because of those little foxes that can spoil the vine, the little things that you think is not big. It is huge in the Father's heart. It is huge. Those are the things that when no one is watching you, that you have to get right. And so those things probably look a little to you, but you know what? It has to be something for y'all to begin to walk out. You know, and even if you're not married, you know, if you have an issue with someone in your heart, call them. Don't let it muster up and muster up. Call them and just get it over and done with. Say, I'm sorry. You know, if I'm in a store and if I have an attitude with a clerk, or you know, if I'm at Walmart or if I'm anywhere, and if I have an attitude with someone, if I can't find someone and they get angry and I just get an attitude, do you know I cannot leave that store if I don't even say sorry to the person? And if I do leave the store and go home, God, and they can go back again and go say sorry. So I know that I need to get it right before I leave that store.
Save gas, yeah.
That's true. But you know, it's kind of like you can just kind of like, you know, say whatever, you know. And or you can be really vigilant with God and say, God, I know that it has hurt your heart and I need to make right. And those things are, nobody knows, only God knows. And so we all can live like that every single day. I'm not perfect, but you know what? All of us try to be perfected in God and what His Word says. You know what? We will have even less attacks. We will have the weapons to stand against, and we will walk in victory of knowing that this is what the Word says, and we can go to the next level. Yeah, you get probably more attacked, but you know what? He'll give you the weapons to use. So God wants us to be spiritually mature, to keep on growing and not be hindered and be kept down by the works of enemy. Any questions?
This is a good time to take a short break, maybe, yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll
take a quick break.
It's a lot. I know.